Please turn with me tonight to that book from our first reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I read verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So my title really is that first part of the verse, Remember Now Your Creator. Remember now your Creator. And as you know, the liberals, the non-believer philosophers, secular philosophers, they love the book of Ecclesiastes. You know why they love it? Because they do not understand that this is a spiritual book. They only look at it on a secular and carnal and humanistic level. But this is the book which challenges us. It challenges our souls. It tells us how to live well. But it tells us also how to die well. You see, life is not only here and now. There is something better. There is something coming, life after death. And this is what this book is dealing with. My dear friends, is this not what this world is all after? Oh yes, this world says, just live, enjoy life. This is all what there is. But as I said, Ecclesiastes tells us how to live well, meaning well in fellowship with God, but also when the end of this life comes to an end, we have relationship with God. So that's really the message this book is all about. It evaluates life and its purpose, but it evaluates it to make us to understand what it means to have a Savior and what it means to be your own God. It is an examination. Who is your God? Are you your own God, or do you live in this life with a Savior? And we know this is written by Solomon, the son of David, a king, a poet, a musician, an architect, a botanist, a prophet, or whatever subject you can bring in the life, in this life. You bring it to Solomon, he was able to deal with it. He was able to tackle it because he has received wisdom from above. And he's speaking to us as a preacher. You know, one of his names, one of the names of Solomon is Jediah, meaning beloved. So this is the beloved of God, beloved preacher, the beloved professor. That's really how you have to look at Solomon. And this beloved professor speaks to us on behalf of God. Oh, my dear friends, Solomon was given great wisdom. But not only wisdom, he was given great riches. Whatever you and me dream about in this life, he doesn't have to dream about it. He has it. It was given to him. So he had access to everything, everything. He lived an opulent life. All his necessities, they never wanted anything because all was provided unto him. So this is the man who speaks to us. But let me tell you a little bit about him again. In spite of all his riches and wisdom, he speaks to us here as a father. He speaks to us here with a pastoral heart. Oh, it is good when you have a counselor who has such a tremendous experience. And that's what you can see in Solomon. So please listen to this man. Listen to this beloved professor. He has a lot to tell us, especially he's speaking to us on behalf of God. And he writes to rescue us, every one of us, being very realistic about life. And that's why you remember what we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. He says, truly the light is sweet and the pleasant things it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Verse 8, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So he's very realistic about life, urging us, urging each one of us to take life seriously. Do you really take life seriously? And Solomon does it. He does it by pointing to us to God who gives everlasting life. May I tell you something? Joy is not in life. Oh, I think you are surprised, but joy is not in life. You know where is real joy? Where is real happiness? Real joy, real happiness is in God, because God is the life giver. God gives life. That's why, apart from God, life without God, Solomon says 36 times in 12 chapters that life without God, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, all is pointlessness, all is insignificance, all is breathlessness, all is uselessness without God, because God has created us. But I have four or five things. I will see how time allows us to go. But the first thing he says here in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, the first thing, look at it. He already mentioned it in chapter 11 verse 8, where he said, remember, remember. So that's really my first heading. Remember, this is a command. And it is a demand. It is a demand from God to be wise and to seek for wisdom with God. Do you want to be wise? Oh, this is really what you should pursue in your daily life. And God here is asking us to listen to his wisdom. May I explain it more? In the rush of life, in all our troubles, in all our trials, in all our temptations, in the necessities of life, in the essentials of life, many things we want in this life. But Solomon says, there is something vital. There is something essential. Oh, what is it? Remember. And I'm sure you remember to pay your bills. You remember to check your bank account. You remember to check on your car. You remember to check on your health, check up on your health to see if you are up to it. You remember to check on your neighbor. You remember to check on your emails. You remember to check on your social network. These things, you don't forget them. You hardly forget them. But here it is. The most essential thing in life, we tend to be nonchalant about it. Oh, my dear friends, we are to remember it is so essential. But don't be misled. When the professor, when the preacher says that you must remember, he's not speaking about something intellectual, just a mental assent. That's not what we are talking about. Oh, I remember, yes, there is a God. He's just there. I remember that. But this is further, much more important than that. When he says remember, it means think deeply, ponder about your existence, about the existence of life, the meaning of life, and the purpose of life. But not just think and ponder, but do something about it. What are you going to do? Have God at all times in your mind and before your sight. My dear friend, you may forget God, but may I tell you something which will never happen? God will never forget you. Never. Whatever you do, trying to forget him, he will bring you before him one day into judgment. So that's the first thing, the command, remember. The second thing, he tells us about the urgency. Look at the urgency again. It's all in verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now. Now. This is the time. And it is urgent. This is emergency. May I tell you another thing? You see, God is not the priority, but God is life. It is more than priority. God is life. It is urgent. But this is, by saying, remember now, this is another way of saying to each one of us, come to God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. There is room with him. You can receive the forgiveness of your sins. You can have your guilt being removed. Come to him. Believe not just in the existence of God, but believe that God is. He is self-sufficient. He is self-energized. And he doesn't need anything outside himself. You see, this is the kind of God we are worshiping, not a shallow God who is transported or carried by idolaters. This is the mighty God who fills heaven and earth. So he tells us, believe in this God immediately. Oh, my dear friends, when it comes to salvation, please don't wait until you feel better or you get better. When it comes to salvation, never say to yourself, I need first to bite life at its full. I need to enjoy myself. Never say, oh, especially the young ones, never say, I will postpone it until I get older. Never do that. Never think like that. You see, salvation, according to the Bible, is now and right now. Oh, may I call your attention? Do not delay. Do not delay when it comes to the need of your soul. May I ask you, may I plead with you, may I remonstrate with you. Come to him, plead with him, and start and begin your life with God on your side. This is really the only way to have joy in this life, but also in the life to come. Never say to yourself, I have plenty of time. Nobody has plenty of time, because we never know when our life in this world will come to an end. But the third thing, you remember the first thing, the command. Remember. The second thing is the urgency. Remember now. But the question, who do I need to remember? What do I need to remember? It's here in the verse again. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. Oh, in other words, we can retranslate it even by saying, remember now thy God, your God. Remember now your Lord. Remember now your Master. He made you. He made you. He made each one of us. He created us. Please never believe somebody who says to you, I am self-made. A self-made man or a self-made woman. That doesn't exist. According to the Bible, in Psalm 100, God made us. And according to the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You and me were created. But I don't want to dwell too much on that. Look at the verse again. It says, remember now thy Creator. It is very specific. It is personal, if I may even say it is experiential. Not just remember any kind of God, but remember the only God, the one who made you, the one who wonderfully designed you, the one who fearfully made each one of us, the one who provides all things for you. He provides food, he provides air, he provides a roof over your head, he provides education, he provides family, he provides nature. You appreciate nature, don't worship nature, but worship the God who created nature. He is beyond nature, because he made all things. But there is something else we should read in that verse. Remember now thy Creator. Most commentators, those who study the Hebrew language, are telling us that the word Creator there is really in plural. It is plural. If you can read it as remember thy Creators, meaning what? Oh, there is plurality in God. Not that there are many gods, there is only one God. But there are three persons. The God the Bible speaks about is a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. The Father planned our salvation. I'm sure many do understand that. the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, came from heaven to earth to purchase that salvation for us. And he died on the cross of Calvary, the just dying for the unjust us, who deserve to die on that cross of Calvary. And the third person is the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit brings that conviction in your heart and make me to enter into the kingdom of God as I repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember the Father, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, but remember also the gracious Holy Spirit. But may I say more? Here is real science, because we are speaking about the Creator. You know, science has never proved that there is no God. But let me just to tell you in my simple mind, here is real science. It is drawn from the Word of God. In Job chapter 26, the Bible says that God hangs the earth upon nothing. That's real science. It is a miracle. It's not the elephant man or the atlas man, but God himself upholding, holding, sustaining all things, the visible, the invisible. Everything was made by God himself. Ex nihilo, as we say, from nothing. He created all things, the visible and the invisible, and he made each one of us just by the word of his mouth, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, it is amazing to hear these things. You know what God has done? Only you and me, only people were made in the image of God, even angels. You see how God has elevated man? Even angels were not created in the image of God. But man, from the beginning, he created them in his image. Man and women, he created them in the beginning of this world. So we do not evolve. It is a big lie. We are neither free nor independent because we have been created. You see, that's the point. People say, I'm free. Nobody is really free. You are only free when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came to set us free from our sins. We are all slaves of our sins, inebriated with so many pollutions of the things of this world, just for the here and now. But once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to him by faith, the chains are removed. And really then you are set free. But it is interesting, you know, the word, the Greek word for man, anthropos, means actually the one who stands straight. That's the meaning. That's why among all the beings created in this world, human beings, animals, only man is erected, stands straight, with some exceptions, of course. Why? Because man is made to be upright by God, who made him. And that's why the very word man means the one who stands straight, the one who looks up. Every animal looks down, but we are called to look up. Even the atheist, the veteran atheist who doesn't believe in God, when he is in trouble, he looks up. Why? Because God made us with that conscience. He printed eternity in our minds so that we will cry unto him and come to find him if we really mean what we are saying. Oh, my dear friends, dress up. Dress up and meet thy Savior. Meet the God who made you. Because without God, if you live your life without God, you know what is happening? It is rebellion. It is foolishness. It is unbelief. And it makes everything to go wrong. You know, you don't have to question twice or to think twice. Why is our world what it is today, even in this pandemic? You don't have to be a prophet to find the answer, because we have rebelled against our Maker. And he is punishing us so that as man created in his image, we may be able to look up. Oh, look up tonight. Look to the Lord and you will find salvation, because when
We have gone away from him. We are in great troubles.
God made us out of him, but our sinful nature erected us against him. So the first thing I said, the command, I hope you see the command, remember. The second thing, the urgency, remember now. But who do you have to remember? Oh, there are many things you and me, we remember in our daily life. But this is the supreme, the preeminence, the prominent, the paramount things to remember in your life is to remember God who made you. And that God came into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the 14, still in verse 1 in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. When do I need to remember my Creator? When? Or the verse says, in the days of your youth. Now is the time. As you know, youth is the age where all our patterns, all our future is shaped really completely, and all patterns are developed. Youth is a great opportunity. And may I give you some examples of men who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ in their youth while they were still young. I'm sure you heard about Jonathan Edwards, the American preacher, the revivalist. He came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 9. Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, he didn't have to wait long. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 9. Richard Baxter, the reformed pastor, the reformed preacher, he came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 6. You see, he didn't have to wait until he tasted life. Oh, the greatest joy we can have in life is to find the Lord while we are still young. John Calvin, another great man. You know, in the French prose, even today, linguistically, theologically, he is unparalleled. They couldn't find, even up to today, a man to equal John Calvin. They hate him, but this is a great man. You know, when he found the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in his early 20s. But at age 27, he wrote the Institute, the Calvin Institute of Christian Religion. This is up to today. 500 years up to now, it is unparalleled in any form of literature. Oh, can I tell you about another one? Martin Luther, when did he find the Lord Jesus Christ? Truly, at age 32. This is when he heard that storm, when he was still preaching, teaching, unconverted as he was, but he heard God speaking to him by his word, the just shall live by faith. And he was humbled to the dust. We could multiply the examples. You know, Spurgeon, the founder of this very metropolitan tabernacle, when did he find the Lord? Did he have to wait until he became 40, 50? If it was so, he will never be the prince of preachers. At age 15, already he found the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, when to find the Lord? When to remember thy Creator? In the days of your youth. I must move on. I wish I can say more there. But look at it. The fifth thing I want to put before you. Why do you need to find the Lord in the days of thy youth? Why? Why do you need to remember the Lord? Why do you need to remember him now? Why do you need to believe in your Creator? Oh, my dear friends, this is very simple. Can I explain it to you? God has set a clock in your life. You know, our life are like a book. They are just like a book. But remember what? You are not turning the pages of that book. God is the one turning the pages of the book of your life. So God has set a day against you. And God has also said that one day you and me, we shall die. And death, as you know, the king of terrors. People say, I'm not afraid of death. They are lying. But death is the king of terrors. And very soon, without even sending you a text or an email or giving you any sign, it can knock, it can hit. But Bible says, after death comes what? Comes the judgment.
So why do you need really to remember thy Creator and to believe in him? Because look at the next part of verse 1 and 2. Hard and evil days are coming to shake us. Oh, I love this part in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's why I said the secular philosophers, they do not understand it. You know what Solomon is doing here? Solomon was a poet. And he explains life, the breakdown of our bodies, with metaphors, with allegories, in a picturesque way to draw your attention. And he does it to remind us how mortal we are. My dear friends, we are mortal, but when you listen to politicians, you know what the politicians are saying? Listen to what they are saying about even the COVID-19. We are invincible. We will win. We are bulletproof. But you see how God is humbling us to the dust, because we are nobodies. Nobody. We are so weak. We are just dust, the Bible says. And that's why the psalmist could say, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. My dear friends, the Bible speaks in this picturesque way to remind us that it is important to seek the Lord before we get old, to seek the Lord before we die, and to seek the Lord before judgment comes. But I would like to do something. Time is almost over. But you can see from verse 3 to verse 7, he gives us those metaphors about how our bodies are decaying, they are aging, and very soon death will come, and the clouds, the troubles of age are coming. Life goes dark with old age, and you know that, I'm sure. Young man, young woman, may I speak to you tonight? You may not like what I'm going to say, but it is the reality, because the Bible speaks about it. This is what is going to happen to you, and this is what is waiting for you and me. And look at it, how Solomon speaks about it, the aging and the decay because of age before death comes to knock at the door. Verse 3, he speaks about the keepers of the house. You know who are the keepers of the house? Oh, the hands tremble. The hands are trembling. You know who are the strong men? The strong men, your legs, your knees, very soon are not able to carry the body. The spinal cord, the blood circulation, the body movement, our mouths caving, everything slows down. Everything. And then look at the grinders, says, because they are few. What are the grinders? Oh, very soon, to chew becomes harder because teeth are very few. And remember when Solomon was writing these things, there were no dentists, there were no implants. So very soon, the grinders, says, because they are few. Rising up at the voice of the bird, you know what is that? Sleeping, young man can sleep through the night up to next day, 12 o'clock, midday. But when age comes in, sleep becomes harder. Those who look out of the windows be darkened. Our eyes, they grow dim with cataract, with glaucoma, with myopia, with presbyopia, which means really old eyes. That's the meaning. And then the doors shall be shut in the streets, hard of hearing. You need hearing aids. And in verse 4, if you love music, listen to what the poet says here. The daughter of music, very soon they will not be able to sing. Or the one who was a nightingale before now sings like a frog. It's so hard to sing. He's not in the tune anymore because age has taken over. Look at in verse 5. Because of age, before death comes in, the fear of height, acrophobia, not only acrophobia, but you become also agoraphobic. You fear the crowd, you fear people, and scared even to sit on the balcony.
But look at another poetry given to us. The almond tree shall flourish. What does it mean? The hair is turned gray or no hair at all. That's really what age brings in your life. Look at the next one. He says, the grasshopper drags himself. What is this? Oh, the agility, the athlete or the athletic steps you are able to, the jumps you are making in your young age, now that's over. Oh, many things are said to us here. No more appetite, lack of desire, lack of taste. Life becomes almost boring. And we lose any sense of pleasant life. Pointless, oh, my dear friends. The fountain of youth does not exist. No matter what this world is doing, the fountain of life is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in John chapter 7, verse 37, whoever thirsts, let him come. Rivers of waters shall flow in his belly. That's the fountain of life if you really want to live long. Oh, in verse 5 again, to close, it's here. In verse 5, you can see this world is not your home. Oh, many people, look at what they are building. It is as if this life will never come to an end, but it will come to an end. And there is your long eternal home to look for in another place. In verse 6 and 7, look at what the poet says. Three times he speaks about death there, and he uses the word broken, broken, and broken. For a believer, my dear friends, for a believer, old age is not depressive. Old age only brings him closer to God, to the Lord. Being nothing but dust should really drive our souls to cry for rescue. That life you cherish so well as silver and gold will soon be over. My dear friends, before I close, everything fades away, but eternity will take you and me. You know where? There are only two destinies. Heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ if you have believed on him, if you have trusted in him. And the second destiny is hell, where there will be only weeping and teeth gnashing. Only those two destinies. But let me close. In the New Testament, you know what Paul said? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, risen from the dead according to my gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one to be remembered. And we read in Colossians chapter 1 that Christ is the creator. So when Solomon said, remember now thy creator, it is as if he was saying to us, remember now the Lord Jesus Christ. He is thy creator. He made you. John chapter 1, verse 3, he made all things in heaven and on earth. Christ is the agent of creation. He made all things because he is God, God of the very God. But you know what happened? It is miraculous. God has appointed him. He came in a body prepared for him, just for him. And he entered in our human race in that body and to bring to us hope and eternal life. We remember our Creator by repenting from our sins and believing that Christ, the second person of the Godhead, suffered on the cross of Calvary for all my sins. Please appropriate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, if I repent and believe on him, he died for my sins, not just for the sins of everyone. That is not what the Bible teaches, but he died for me. It is for me because it is personal and specific. He came with great mercy to pay the penalty I deserve. Our bodies decay, our bodies die. But you know, another promise Christ gave us is that one day he will raise up our bodies and they will be raised up incorruptible and they will be raised up with immortality, immortal bodies. My dear friends, to know Christ is the only life worth living. It is the only life that you and me should be living right now, because you will never find rest in yourself. You know another thing Paul said to Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man in disdain look at your youth, because you live just for the temporal, for the ephemeral. Live for something great, something substantial, something eternal, which means believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Live your short life in fellowship with the ageless one. You know who is the ageless one? Only God. His days have no end. The younger, the better. Oh, don't get old. Don't leave it for later when you get old, because older you get, harder you become. I know we have many seniors. We give thanks to the Lord for them. They have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the statistics are telling us, older we get, postponing, delaying, harder we become. And at the end we say to ourselves, I have played the fool. I have lived in chimera. I have lived in utopia. I have lived in pipe dreams. Oh, let it never be of anyone of the viewers we have tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because young and old, big and small, poor and rich, children and adults alike, men and women, to live a life beginning with the Lord Jesus Christ now is the source of joy and happiness. Remember now the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. Repent from all your sins. Trust in him. Yield your life unto him, and he shall give you everlasting life. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again. We thank thee that it is not in vain to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it is not in vain to come to thee in faith, trembling in repentance and faith in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, be merciful to every seeker. Be merciful to everyone who have listened to thy word and have not yet come to thee. We pray that there will be a birthday celebrated in the heavenly places by angels, but also in that soul who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless each one of us, and continue to use thy children in this world before the end come. We ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together our last hymn number 381. Hymn number